What is up? And welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, it's gonna be more of the same, I fear. Stick with me because it's gonna be a bit different, but it's still gonna be talking about the same talking points that we've been discussing all season. We're 8 games in and I'm tired. I feel like I'm just going in circles and just going through the motions at this point because it's the same thing. It's the team gets off to a good start. They fall apart in the second or third quarter. The fourth quarter, it doesn't matter, and the team loses by 20 plus points. Like it's the same thing, and it happened again tonight against Boston. They came out and they looked awesome. They put up 37 in the first quarter. They held Boston to 26 points, up 11 entering the second. And then they just stopped playing defense. They stopped playing good basketball. They got outscored by 21 in the second quarter, and they end up losing the game. What was the final score? 136-107 by 19 points. It's the fourth straight loss by 17 plus points. It is the seventh time this season in the 8 games they've played, they've given up 119 plus points. In every single loss this season, the Wizards have given up 119 plus points. How much do they give up in their win against Dallas? Only 107. It's clear that this team needs to play defense to win games or at least be more competitive, and yet there is just zero resistance pretty much 3 out of every 4 quarters on that end. For a team that Brian Keefe, and I'll say it's Will Dawkins too. I like him. I think he's done a good job. But Will Dawkins too said in the offseason and before the season, this is going to be a competitive team. We might lose a lot, but we're going to compete every night. You can bank on that. Through the first 4 games, like, yeah, you got it, man. The last four have been atrocious. Like I mentioned, it's 4 straight losses by 17 plus points, a total of 6 straight losses after that win at Dallas. It's just been uncompetitive basketball. The defense sucks. The veterans are playing terrible. Middleton's been out the last 2 games. Believe me, we're going to talk about CJ McCollum because he's been trash the last 3 games. Absolutely terrible. So don't think I'm going to forget about that. Bob Carrington struggled again. Apart from Alex Saar, who once more was phenomenal, and maybe Justin Champagny, I thought everybody was bad. Malachi Branham was okay off the bench. We'll talk about why he played actual minutes to begin with. But just an atrocious loss, 136-107. Like against the Celtics the last couple years, this is like expected. They don't have Tatum, and they lost Horford in the offseason. They don't have KP. Like Jaylen Brown at 35, and they're playing guys like Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser that played the bench role for them a while. They're playing big minutes, and yet the Wizards are still losing by nearly 20 points. Again, it's just another bad loss, and obviously I'm going to break it down, and you got to start with the rotations. Again, Middleton was out. Last game it was a left elbow contusion. This game it was, I think, right knee soreness. He's getting up there in age, and he's going to have these types of injuries throughout the season. But he was out again. That means that you needed a new starting lineup again, and you went with the same starters. Keefe did. Champagne starts. Again, it baffles me. Like, how are you this confident again to start Champagne and play him good minutes? How many minutes did Champagne play tonight? If I can pull this up, he played 19 minutes. Finished with 12 points, 5 boards, 3 of which were offensive because he's great on that end. Didn't miss a shot. 4 of 4 from the field, 2 of 2 from three. How this guy did not see the court to begin the season, it was beyond me then. It's even more beyond me now. My friend Bijan Todd tweeted out, like, yes, you need to give more minutes to Champagne, and I couldn't agree more. How this guy isn't playing? He's a guy that can rebound on both ends, is an efficient scorer on the offensive end, can shoot the three, can score in the lane, generates extra possessions, defends his spot well. Am I missing something? I mean, like, the guys you're playing over. I mean, when Middleton's playing, you're playing CJ over him. You're playing Kispert and Whitmore a bunch of minutes. It's just like, how on earth are all of those guys getting more run than a guy like Champagne, who in spot minutes tonight, 19 minutes as a starter isn't a lot. He played awesome. He was great. And so the fact that, yes, he's starting, I'm happy that he's playing now, but the fact that it took this long is beyond me. I talked about it last episode. I'm going to keep talking about it until, Middleton comes back and Champagne's still part of the rotation. This will be a recurring theme on this pod. I don't I'm let's talk about Saar. Again, It's going to be mostly negative because, like I mentioned, I talked about Champagne. I'm kind of throwing, I feel bad here because I'm throwing the positives out so early, but I want to get to them quickly so that I can kind of get into the meat of the episode, which is negative. I mean, when they lose another game by this many points, it should be negative, I think. We're going to talk about Sarr because he was absolutely phenomenal. I'll get out in front of this now. Like, he was a minus 26. I was surprised by that. Like, I didn't think he was that bad defensively, and I thought offensively the offense flowed the best with him in the game. He played 29 minutes, which was the most of anybody, and the team lost by 19, so maybe there's a contributing factor. He's also playing with really bad defenders. Like, Koulibaly, left the game with a left leg bruise or soreness or something of that nature. Doesn't seem too serious, but I've harped on this. Like, Bilal's a good defender, really good defender. Keyshawn George is a good defender when he doesn't foul. Everyone else on this team, apart from like Champagny, is not a good defender. And when you have everything being funneled into Sarr, it's going to be tough for him. This was still the seventh straight game that Sarr's had 2+ blocks. That's a career high. That's awesome. He had three tonight. So I like this rim protection. I thought there were obviously a couple plays where Kata blew by him and he was out of position. That's going to happen. But let's talk about the offense for a second. 31 points for Alex Sarr, 8 boards, 3 of which were offensive. I loved his activity on that end. 3 blocks, 12 of 20 from the field, 4 of 5 from three, 3 of 4 from the line. The efficiency is what screams at me first. I mean, the 4 makes and 5 attempts from outside is unreal. Just the consistency with which he's shot the outside jumper to begin the season. I think he's around 40% through, what, 8 games now? Like, he's been really efficient. It's a decent volume too, and they're in rhythm, they're open, they're good looks, and that's why I like him taking that many per game, especially if he's going to make them. Again, he shot 39% from the field last year, 12 of 20, I mean 20 shots and that type of efficiency. What's that, 60%? That's phenomenal, phenomenal stuff from Sarr. Just really enjoyed his offensive performance, and he was doing it in a multitude of ways. He had 10 points, 5 boards in the first quarter, entered halftime with 18 and 6, made all 3 of his 3s in the first half. He had another turnaround at the elbow, which was great. His short roll passing again was awesome. In the pick and roll, it seems like he's navigating it better and he's finding his spots. But what I'm most impressed with is the physicality and the aggression he's playing with. He'll take it into anybody's chest. When he gets the offensive rebound, he's not fading anymore. That was the thing. It would be a Euro step or a fade every time he'd get a layup or 2 feet in the paint. He's not scared. And I think he clearly put some muscle on. Maybe that's another point where he's like, I'm big enough to be able to body guys down low. But he just took it at Keita whenever he was in the game and had the ball in the paint. Any small that was on him, he went up strong. The hands still, like he dropped a couple of passes. He probably could have more points. There was a couple of rolls where he was open. He just fumbled the ball. Got stripped a couple times just to keep the ball high instead of bringing it down. But I don't want to harp too much on the negatives because last season, 67 games, Alex Sarr had one 30-point game. It was that explosion against Denver. He's already got 2 through 8 games this season. Like, that's noticeable growth. That's noticeable improvement. And I just can't say enough good things about his maturation on that end. He's 20 years old. He's 20 years old. He's in his second season, and he has 2 30-point games in the team's first 8 games. He is doing it efficiently. He is doing it with aggression. He's playing like a stretch 4, stretch 5. I don't care what you categorize him as he's playing awesome. He's playing aggressive. He's playing physically. And he's blocking shots as well. He's doing his job, rim protection. It's not his fault the rest of the defense is bad, and it just funnels everything into him. But I have liked what I've seen for the most part. Like, a game against Cat, that wasn't good defense. I thought he was all right against Keita, but completely abused that matchup offensively. And so really impressed with what I saw from Alex Sarr. I'm looking at my notes now. Like, that, I'm kind of running out of positives. What I'll talk about now is the runs. Someone said it in my comments. I'm gonna make a thread of just I gotta just tweet out the scores now. The Wizards fans know enough about the background and the lore behind it that, like, I don't need to say another run is going on and the Wizards are getting outplayed. All I have to do is tweet out the scores. It was 37 to 26 at the end of the first quarter. I blinked. I came back, blinked, and lo and behold, the Wizards' 11-point lead is down to 4. It's 39-35. It's a 9-2 Celtics run to begin the quarter. Keith calls a timeout. That's a good timeout right there by Ryan Keith. Stop the bleeding. I like that. That's a good timeout. But what we've seen and the trends we've noticed, and I mentioned this in the last game against New York, was that even against OKC, Keith will call all of these timeouts, but the team is not responding. The adjustments are not getting through. And so it's one thing to call the timeout to stop the bleeding, something that Wes Unseld Jr. never did. It's a whole nother thing for your adjustments out of those timeouts to not work or to not translate. Like I mentioned, where does he call the timeout? Less than 2 minutes into the second quarter is the 9-2 run. 10:06 left. Keith calls a timeout. 39-35 Wizards. You blink your eyes again, and Keith is calling another timeout. This time, the Wizards are down 47-41. Like, how? How do you even get to that point? That is a 9-2 run. You call a timeout. And then you let them answer said 9-2 run with, let me do the math here. You let them answer said 9-2 run with another 12-2 run. I mean, you're not getting through to your team. Your adjustments aren't working. Whatever it is, something needs to give. Something needs to change because it's a theme now that not only are you allowing these big runs, but your timeouts throughout them are not working. Your team is still getting outplayed the same way it did before the timeout that it is after the timeout. That is on coaching. It's also on an inexperienced and young team, but it's on coaching. Like you have to adjust. It's one thing to have a good game plan. If you watched Wes Unseld Jr., you know that. It's a whole nother thing to sustain that level throughout the game. And it's game after game that the opposing coach makes one or two adjustments, and boom, the Wizards are up 10 to down 12, down 15, down 20. That can't happen. And ultimately, that falls on the head coach to make adjustments. And Keefe has missed the mark. He has fallen short to this point. And it kept happening throughout the game. Again, like you could honestly circle any point. I mean, the Celtics outscored the Wizards 44-23 in the second quarter. They scored 26 in the first, and they got 70 at halftime. 70-60 lead at halftime. It's a 21-point swing. Third quarter, not much better. Out of halftime, you'd expect some adjustments, right? You'd be like, okay, Brian Keefe, you called a couple timeouts, didn't work. Let's go into the locker room. Let's adjust. No adjustments made. Just vibes. Just playing out there, running around and doing whatever. The Wizards are outscored again by 12, 32-20. They enter the fourth quarter, trailing by a lot of points. And even in the fourth, like they're outscored 34-27, and they lose by 19 points. It's a consistent theme for this team. It feels like where. They can't sustain it. They play good for the first quarter, the first two quarters, the first three quarters, and then they fall apart in the fourth. The first half they play great, and then they fall apart in the third and fourth quarters. It's a theme. And the last couple games, it's been a good first quarter and then just awful the rest of the way. And at a certain point, you can lose a lot of games, but when you come out in training camp in the preseason and you say, "We will compete. We will make other teams like fight and claw for these wins." And then you lose four straight by 17 plus points. You have given up 119 points or more in seven of your first eight games. That to me does not scream a good defensive team like you tried to preach in the preseason. That does not scream to me defensive effort like you preach. And it certainly doesn't scream the competitive nature and the compete level that you stressed about this team entering this season. So, for all of you guys listening, saying, "Greg, why are you so animated the last couple games?" It's going as planned. They're 1-7. They're going to get Boozer or Dybansa or Peterson. Let them play like and let them lose. That's not the point. You have not heard me get on here and say I'm mad that this team is 1-7. I have said that this team should be better than they are. I said when they were 1-3, they should be 3-1. I was not mad at those results. I was more frustrated at how they got to those results, as I am tonight. They're 1-7. Yes, they're in a really good spot to keep their pick. They're going to keep their pick. It's going to happen. No matter how much you root for wins or don't, they're going to keep their pick. That's clearly, priority one right next to the development this season. But when you keep going out here and you clearly have the talent to compete and possibly win some of these games, and whether it's your head coach and his rotations, or whether it's the inexperience, or whether it's your veterans playing worse than your first year players, something has to give. Like it can't be this way for 82 games. And through eight, it looks eerily similar to the way it looked last year, where you competed at times, you couldn't sustain that compete, and by the fourth quarter, everyone's probably left the arena, everyone's bench has been emptied, and the game is over. That's not competitive basketball. That's not building winning culture. And it's simply, it can't happen throughout an 82-game season. They got to make a little bit of change, and they got to be way more competitive in these games. It starts on the defensive end, clearly, but they have to sustain the level they had in the first quarter against Boston tonight, the level they had in the first quarter against New York in the first three or four quarters, four and a half, three and a half quarters against Philadelphia. Like, they have to sustain that. And to this point, except for that game against Dallas, they haven't. No matter who you blame, it clearly is an issue. Going down the line, I talked about Keith's adjustments. Let's talk about his rotations real quick. I already talked about Champagny and how it, I just like, I don't get it, how he just goes from pretty much DMPs or 4 or 5 garbage minutes a game to starting 2+ games and playing well in those minutes. That's another point. But at the same time, like, you got Malachi Branham. Like, Keith put Branham in. The team was down like 20 points. Branham comes in, with a little bit, like 3 or 4 minutes left in the third quarter. Is it, to my knowledge, it's Branham's first actual like non-garbage time minutes this season. He actually played well, by the way, in these minutes. He started with an air ball, but bounced back 10 points. He played 17 minutes, 10 points, 3 rebounds, 3 of 5 from the field, made all of his free throws, like defended okay. Like, he was not bad. That's not the point. The point is that Keefe is still out here searching for stuff. He still doesn't understand or know fully what his rotations are. He didn't play Will Riley for the first three quarters, yet he played Branham. That made not a lot of sense to me. I mean, again, it's you're starting to see a trend with Cam Whitmore where his minutes are down, 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 down. I mean, did anybody expect Malachi Branham to double up Cam Whitmore in minutes played? Branham was 17, Whitmore with 8. Kispert had 8 points in the only 13 minutes. He was 3 of 5 from the field, 1 of 2 from three again. Like, I didn't think he was awful this game. That's now two straight games. He's been played pretty well off the bench. But again, 13 minutes, maybe the blowout has something to do with that, but not a lot of playing time for him. And I mean, certainly with Whitmore, 8 minutes is very interesting. You've seen Keith get animated with him. You've seen him take some bad shots. He doesn't pass, by the way. I mean, there was a moment in this game where he had the ball at the top of the key. There was a defender that was closing in on him, and he had the extra pass to Keyshawn, who was wide open. And I was like, he's not passing. And Keyshawn was like, had his hands up, but I was like, Key, he's not passing. He didn't pass. He missed the three. He does not like to pass the ball in transition. He scored against Boston when he was attacking the rim. He only took 3 shots. But that's now 16 minutes versus Orlando, 11 versus New York, and 8 versus Boston. That's 2 games in a row that his minutes have gone down. Certainly don't know if that has anything to do with him and Keith in that relationship, or if it just has to do with the nature of the game and the blowout it was. Nonetheless, he only played 8 minutes. My point here is that the rotations are quite odd. Will Riley played the entire fourth quarter. I'm glad he did. He looked good in those minutes, but he should be playing earlier. Trey Johnson played 24 minutes, 7 points on 2 of 5. 3 turnovers. He definitely had some rookie moments tonight. Just the turnovers were honestly, in my opinion, all bad turnovers, just pretty unforced errors. Defensively wasn't too good either. Was a minus 15, 7 points. So he was all right, but the rotations are certainly interesting. And it's going to be a common theme throughout the season, where I don't think there will be an actual rotation. It'll be fluid. It'll just be, sometimes Branham will play 17 minutes, and then most of the time he won't play. AJ Johnson's clearly out of the rotation. You saw Keith, experiment with Vucevic early in the season, playing spot minutes. He didn't play until garbage time tonight. I don't really understand what Keith does with these rotations. I probably won't for the greater part of the year. Like, I do have to admit there's probably a mandate from up top, like, play these guys more, don't play these guys. And there's certainly got to be for CJ McCollum, because at this point, if you're Keith, like, I get it. You're out here trying to play your best guys, and I think on paper CJ is one of the better players on this team, but this season has not been the case. Tonight, he played 18 minutes. He had 3 points on 1 for 10 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3, was a minus 9. He is now 8 for 31 over his last three games. He was 2 of 9 against New York, 5 of 12 against Orlando, and 1 of 10 tonight. He completely shot them out of the game. He got blown out, but he was getting good looks. He couldn't make them, and that's fine. But when it continues to happen in a larger sample size through 7, 8, 10 games, you gotta look to maybe make a change. I don't know if Trey Johnson is the solution just yet, but ask any Wizards fan, and they tell you in 2 seconds, play Trey, start Trey. I know the Wizards are trying to be cautious and be smart and careful with Trey and how much they play him early on. I get that. That's probably why he's not playing a lot, or at least starting, I should say, over CJ. That's probably not the plan until game 30 to 40. But CJ's been awful. There was many times as well where someone commented this. He had a couple passes to Sarr in the pick and roll, like easy draw passes where he draws two defenders, and both times he took a contested floater, and both times he missed it. It's plays like that that when you're not shooting well, you have open guys and you seem to just be focused on the rim. Like, I get he's a scorer, but again, he's been awful this season. Arguably the team's worst player. I know he's not actually this bad, so I don't know what's going on with CJ, but he's been abysmal. And it seems like Keith's just kind of got to say, like, hey man, let it fly. Go ahead, shoot the ball. If you miss it, you miss it. We'll lose games. We're okay with that. And I'm sure that'll be the case. They're going to try to showcase him as much as they can to other teams. Clearly that has not gone according to plan, but he was awful. And then you got to talk about Bob, and it hurts when I have to continuously say that, that I have to talk about Bob's struggles. He's just been so bad this season. Like, the first 6, 7, 8 games, I kept chalking it up to, like, look, he doesn't really know his role. But at this point, like, we're 8 games in, and he looks like a deer in headlights out there. He made a couple good passes to Bagley in the pick and roll, early in the game, and he made a three, but I mean, apart from that, like, he was a minus 30. 3 points, and he played 31 minutes off the bench, which is, I mean, that's the most minutes of anybody, which again is another point. Like, he was arguably, him and CJ both were the two worst players on the court for the Wizards tonight, and Bub played the most minutes. He played 31 minutes. I didn't even realize that till now. 3 points, five rebounds, six assists, three turnovers, 1 of 2 from the field. Both attempts were from three, and was a minus 30. Again, I thought he got others good looks offensively. The turnovers were still there. It's defense. It's just he gets blown by. He's really tiny, not strong enough, and people just abuse that. They take advantage of it. He's out of position at times, and again, that's why he's a minus 30. On the season, he's a minus 89, which I would be surprised that that's not a team worst through 8 games. That means he's basically an average of a minus 11 each game. That's bad. That's really bad. And honestly, I think if a young player is struggling like this, it's on the head coach to find him the right role, the right minutes. Keith tried to start him, didn't work. He tried him off the bench. That also hasn't worked. So I'm not saying it's a lack of effort, but those clearly haven't worked. You gave up a lot. You give up Denny to get him. You kind of need to start seeing something at a certain point. And I will say this. All of you guys listening probably saw the outlandish Alex Sarr takes after Summer League and after the first half last season. Don't be like that with Bub. Like, you can stay the course with a player like this. He's only 20 years old. He's a young 20 as well. He's still learning point guard. Like, it's going to get old. It's going to get stale. And it did with Sarr, I feel like, for some people last year at certain points. But this is not a he needs to show out right now this season. That's not the case. Bob has a ways to go. And so the panic meter is nowhere near the level that some people might have it at. It certainly warrants a discussion, right? But again, like, he was bad today. Honestly, awful tonight. He's been bad the whole season. But again, I don't think this is like a major cause for concern yet. Like let it play out, let him develop. Hopefully the coaching staff finds a suitable role for him. Another, I mean, Keyshawn George, 9 points, 3 of 9 from the field, was a minus 18. Again, like I didn't think Key played bad. I liked a couple possessions where he ran the pick and roll with Sarr. They have a cool two-man game. He's got to stop fouling. He was averaging 5 fouls before last game. He only had one, and then tonight he had five. And he had a tough assignment on Jaylen Brown. There were some iffy calls. Keyshawn was clearly upset because he kept getting called for these touch fouls on Brown. Brown's a superstar. He's going to get a good whistle. You know, Keyshawn was reaching, and they called it, you know? So by the letter of the law, it's a foul, and he's just got to mature and learn that. So again, like, I don't think he was that bad, but the fouling is clearly still an issue for him. Three turnovers as well, still an issue. So again, Bilal, let's talk about Bilal real quick. He was great his first couple games. Tonight, I thought he actually made some good plays on both ends, just couldn't make a shot. He was 0 for 5, 0 of 3 from 3. He ended up leaving the game with, let me pull up his injury because I want to make sure I get it. I get his injury correct. But Bilal ended up leaving the game with lower left leg tightness. He kind of got a stinger. I thought he got tripped when he was going for a loose ball, fell hard to the ground, was limping a little bit. Stayed in the game for a bit, but then Keefe took him out. Should have been a trip, maybe not a trip, who knows? But I think that was probably the play he got hurt on. The Wizards are also very cautious recently, the last couple years with injuries. So I wouldn't be surprised if he is out next game, which is Friday. They have a back-to-back, so who knows how cautious they'll be. But again, that was kind of Bilal tonight. Just going over my notes real quick because I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. This was a funny stat that I heard on the Celtics broadcast. The Celtics enter the game averaging 50 points. Combined between the first and second, or between the second and third quarters. The middle of the periods were clearly the struggle for Boston. You know what the solution is? Just play the Wizards. They had 76 points between the second and third quarters tonight. Completely changed the game, and by the fourth, they were up, what, 15 plus? I mean, the game was over at that point. So, I mean, look no further than stats like that to kind of explain just how bad this team has played this season. I think actually in the beginning, by the way, I said that the Wizards lost by 19. They actually lost by 29. I'm actually, my bad math is doing them favors. They lost by 29 points, not 19, which is even worse. But just a really poor game from Washington. It's just uncompetitive basketball. It needs to change. And like the losses are fine. No one's mad about the losses. What Wizards fans, or at least what I'm frustrated about, is how they're getting there. Like, you want to see a little bit of growth, and you're not seeing it. When CJ is playing that many minutes, when Bob's playing 31 minutes, and the production's that bad, he's a minus 30. Like, these are all things where you're just like, let's tighten up. Like, we can lose. We don't have to lose this badly in this uncompetitive level of basketball. That's probably all I got for tonight. I don't want to do the tank standings just yet, but the Wizards are now in a three-way tie. Brooklyn got its first win tonight. New Orleans won last night. So Brooklyn, Indiana, and Washington in a three-way tie at the bottom for the worst record. I think New Orleans will probably lose tonight. Maybe they'll win. They're actually up two in the fourth right now on Dallas. But if that's the case, they would also be tied with Washington and the other two teams at the bottom. So it looks like those might be the four like really bad teams. Suns right there at 3 and 5 for those of you that are thinking maybe swap range. If they get lucky like Dallas this year, they'll be in the lottery. Don't worry. But that's gonna wrap it up for this episode. Again, Wizards lose 136 to 107 to the Boston Celtics. It is their sixth straight loss. It is their fourth straight loss by 17 plus points. It is the seventh time this season in 8 games they've allowed 119 plus points. The defense continues to be bad. Alex Sarr continues to be great. Brian Keefe continues to make questionable decisions. And guys like Bob and CJ continue to struggle. So pretty similar storylines to a lot of the other pods I've recorded, you know, this season. But that's going to do it for this one. I'll be back. I don't know if I'm going to record Friday night just because it's the back-to-back the next day. So I'm not entirely sure what the upload schedule will be like. But the Wizards are back home for two on Friday and Saturday against Cleveland and against Dallas. Cleveland probably a blowout. Dallas, who knows? They already beat them this season. They don't look good. We'll be back maybe Friday, but definitely Saturday to recap those games. So again, thanks for listening as always. It's gonna do it for this episode. Go Wiz.